This is a sermon for the Feast of the Transfiguration, and the scriptures it reflects on are Mark 9:2-9 and 2 Corinthians 4:3-12. The Transfiguration can be a difficult event to think about. The Gospel account tells us what the disciples saw: that Jesus' face changed, that his clothes became white, that he spoke with Moses and Elijah. But what do those things mean? And to think about that, I want to come at it kind of obliquely and start with something St. Paul said in our reading from 2 Corinthians today. He wrote, "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies." What an incredibly powerful statement. Now, Paul wasn't there for the events in today's gospel reading, but he had had his own encounter with the resurrected Jesus, bathed in light from heaven so strong that it had blinded him. The same light that the disciples saw at the Transfiguration, but seen by Paul from the other side of the cross and resurrection. So Paul had had his own moment of glimpsing Jesus' identity and glory. And it had, for Paul, turned his entire life, his whole sense of identity and purpose and his whole way of being on its head and kind of given it a good shake for measure. So what was it that let Paul write of being afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, and so on? Was it not, at least in part, that he knew from his own experience who Jesus was, what he had accomplished, and what power was at work in the world even still? Perhaps this might offer us some food for thought about our own experiences of God. How have they been strong enough, profound enough, to offer us the same kind of spiritual resilience? Does this suggest to us a need to be intentional about the time we spend in prayer and contemplation? Not that we can make God show up for us in this way, but we can make time and space for the possibility. Maybe you could consider coming along to our quiet afternoon during Lent. But in showing us what his own encounter with the risen Christ has meant for his life, Paul shows us something of what the Transfiguration can mean too. It shows us who Christ is, and it shows us the power that is at work in Christ to accomplish God's purposes. So the Transfiguration is an encouragement to hope. For all their misunderstanding, confusion, and fear, the three disciples on the mountain are given a vision of hope and joyful expectation. It really is good for them to be there, and it gives them the foundations for their own understanding and sharing of the good news later on, after the resurrection. This event becomes a potent reminder that God's last word in Christ is one of life and joy, even if what we experience in the interim is otherwise. Peter's suggestion of building dwellings, while it might seem silly, suggests that seeing Moses and Elijah, he thought that the final, perfect reign of God was beginning immediately, that Moses and Elijah would stay on earth for the resurrection and the new blessed era which was now present. And he was only partly wrong, because in Jesus that reign of God is begun, even if it is not yet fulfilled. In order to make sense of the vision of restoration and hope which the Transfiguration offers, we need to remember that back down the mountain, there's the reality of a fallen world and human beings alienated from God. This is why, after the bit we read this morning, Mark tells us that immediately after descending the mountain, Jesus is called on to perform an exorcism. It's in that context of fallenness and alienation that, like Jesus, we're called to live and work, always reminded of and holding out to others the possibility of reconciliation and restoration. The light of God, reflected in the face of Christ, who is the source of creation in its original goodness, is turned on human beings in our violence and degradation, our oppression and escapism, our loss and alienation, our fear, pride, anger and despair. In the end, we're saved when we see in that light both our own disfiguration and the possibility and hope of our transfiguration in Christ. In the meantime, this in-between time in which God's purposes for creation are at work but not yet fulfilled, it's in our work and our worship that the meaning of these things becomes immediate and present to us. When we participate in the reality of God's kingdom, walking by faith, if not yet by sight, in the light which shone from Jesus, then the glory which shone from Jesus' face and the future glory of a perfect creation come together in the glory which is the praise of our hearts and the work of our hands. These are not sort of isolated or independent incidents of glory, but they're part of an unbroken strand of faith and hope and love, binding together the whole household of God in every place and time. St. Ephrem, the 4th century deacon and hymn writer, put it this way: Christ is the radiance who in his love makes everyone shine. Christ is the radiance who in his love makes everyone shine. So there's a call to action here. The hope which is brought to life in us in the light of Christ's being is not just for our comfort, but is also supposed to spark a way of life in keeping with that hope. We're not just meant to feel the hope, we're meant to live it as active love which yearns for the fullness of that vision at the end of time and shapes our lives to move and act and speak always in accordance with that vision. As the community of the church, we're called to make that a reality amongst ourselves in order that we can then hold it out to the world as their hope and as an invitation to participate in God's healing of all of human brokenness. It's the same light of love which overflowed from the inner life of God in creation and again at the incarnation, which should draw each of us out of an enclosed individualism into the beauty and luminosity of godly relationship with God, with each other, and with all of creation. So since we have as our hope a vision of perfect peace and human flourishing, that commits us to work for these things. In the big picture, in supporting movements for social justice, the ending of war and the overcoming of poverty, and in the small details, in making peace within ourselves, within our families and circle of friends, to nurture the tender new shoots of the reign of God wherever we find them. So, as St. Paul might have put it, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our lives. The Transfiguration is God's answer to the world's disfiguration, and we're entrusted with it. So may we be faithful stewards of it.